Here is a story from Fort Worth, Texas, about a guy convicted of shooting his wife, then returning to finish her off when he found he had more bullets in his gun. And he was sentenced Friday to 4 months in jail. Now you say, holy geez, what are they doing? Now listen to this, because you're familiar with this. I've heard of this. We all have. There is a sensibility in America and maybe in the world that when a man finds his wife fooling around with another man, that it is automatically almost quasi-justifiable to shoot her. Jimmy Watkins, 34 years of age, was sentenced by a state judge one day after jurors who found him guilty of murder recommended he receive 10 years probation rather than the life prison term. That was sought by the prosecutors, by the way. Under terms of the jury's recommendation, the judge could have jailed Watkins up to 180 days before starting the probation. The judge decided on 120 days. So the judge basically gave this cat 4 months in jail, and the rest, I guess, the next 10 years, the guy's on probation. Prosecutors have vowed to bring Watkins back to court for attempted murder for shooting his wife's lover in the same angry confrontation in the Watkins rural home northwest of Fort Worth last December. The boyfriend who was with the wife got up and did, I guess, what most men would do. He ran. The jealous, angry, crazed husband pointed the gun at this guy, tried to pop off a couple of shots, and the gun jammed or otherwise misfired. So this guy, boyfriend, scot-free. The woman is shot. She's calling 911. This clown is in his car down the road, looks at his gun. This is another one of these, you know. In other words, if this guy had walked into a brokerage house or a McDonald's or a schoolyard or something and did this, we'd say that he's not only is he whacked, this guy belongs in a rubber room for the rest of his life, because we've heard of these people pumping off shots and then, oh, look at that, the gun's empty. Well, time to reload, as people are crawling under tables and otherwise just running for their lives. These guys are standing there. Oh, look at that, man, the gun's out. Well, it's a good thing I got another clip here in the knapsack. And they reload. This is what this guy did. Oh, he had more bullets than the guy. Turned around, went back, shot his wife. You say, well, this is insane. Let me tell you something. You're aware of this, perhaps. Maybe you're not. This notion that it's all right or is somehow understandable that you can shoot somebody because they're screwing around on you, because this is your wife. And I, by the way, I don't know if this applies to wives shooting husbands. I don't think it does. I bet you could check the Texas state law and find that it's perfectly all right, or not perfectly all right, but there are overriding, mitigating circumstances when a husband who's pissed off shoots his wife because she was screwing around on him. And yet, if the wife were to do that to the husband, no go, baby. That's not, that ain't happening. There is prejudice, and there is social prejudice, and there's all kinds of stuff that feeds into this that maybe we don't understand. It sounds outdated. It sounds anachronistic almost. And yet there's a level in each and every one of us that understands this, right? Guy's angry, shoots his wife, she's screwing around with a guy. There's nothing that'll piss anybody off more. It's understandable. It's justifiable homicide, and that at least will keep those guys from screwing. By the way, of course, even in the state of Texas, where you'll only get about 10 years probation, 4 days in jail or 4 months in jail, or whatever the hell this guy got, this don't keep nobody, no wife, no husband, from screwing around on their spouses. The law probably designed to do that. By God, this will stop that at least. You know, we can't keep them from the schoolyards and they're coming into a cafeteria and the post office. Well, that's a whole different thing. But by God, these guys, they're going to screw around on their wives. The wives are going to screw around on the husbands. This will stop that. Not. They're still doing it. Is it nuts? Sure, it's nuts. Does it make any sense? Well, no. But do we believe in it? And will anybody change this law anytime soon? I don't know. I mean, you know. I was 24. And I was messing around with a married woman. Was down in Orlando. Worked at a radio station down there. Lady I worked with. Her husband called me up 3 minutes before I was going to go on the air. One morning, many years ago. And he said, Phil? I said, yeah. He said, you screwing my wife? He said, because I found a note from you in her purse. And I said, you know what? Yeah, you got me, you know? Yeah. He says, you know what husbands do to guys like you? I said, you know what? You know where I am. I'm sorry. You're right. I ain't running. I'm right here. I mean, you know, you got something to say or you want to do, I'm, you know, whatever. I mean, I was just young enough either not to give a crap or figure, well, maybe I was young enough and smart enough to realize, well, nothing, what am I, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? Yeah, here I am. Well, what happened was he had a friend of his who's a guy that I knew very well and liked. We went out and had lunch, this buddy. He says, hey, how's things going, Phil? Oh, great, you know, everything's good. Or, I mean, I don't know, stuff's going on. He didn't reference this incident at all. He knew the husband, and he knew me, and we're having lunch. And he says, Jesus, you know, I'm reading a really interesting book. Oh, yeah? It's called The Valachi Papers. You ever read that? No, it's about that that mafia guy, right? Yeah, the guy turned on the mob. He went in front of the federal, you know, went in front of Congress. You know, that's an interesting thing. He saw something happen. I said, oh, really? What was that? Yeah, some guy was screwing around with a mob guy's girlfriend, and you know what they did to the guy? I said, no, they cut his balls off. I said, really? Yeah, it's really interesting. You ought to read the book. Okay. As I'm getting my whatever omelet, my cheese omelet, I'm going to tell you right now, I have never, and I'm a married man now. This is many years. I've been married going on 3 years. I have, well, 2.5 years. I have never done that since. I've never done that since. Some guys make a freaking career out of it. Some people think that it's really not their problem. It's the spouse who's screwing around on the other spouse. That's the problem, and they're really not involved in it. I never got involved in that since because, Jack, you want to, I mean, if you want the real quick, easy, paint-by-numbers, step-by-step way to get capped in your head or ass or both, that's the way to do it. So that was, I learned my lesson. Now, Mike Schaefer, my producer, who's recently married, told me a hell of a story before we went on the air, Gretchen. He had to tell it to me. I'm just kidding. Had something to do with the Olympic Gardens in Vegas. But anyway, so I'd like to know what you feel this hour on the idea that if it is a murder of passion having to do with the infidelity of a spouse, that in some way it is mitigated in the eyes of the law and that therefore a guy ought to be able to, you know, sort of step off after 3 months in the joint. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Henry here. With this guy in Fort Worth who has been given 4 months probation as the result of shooting his wife. It was a crime of passion. The jury, straight off, man, said a recommendation of 10 years of probation. Because when you're talking about shooting your wife, when you're talking about a wife being unfaithful to a husband, and he caught him dead to rights, he caught him there in the house, that it is understandable. And there are mitigating circumstances. A crime of passion, therefore, all right, let him cool his heels for 3 months in the county lockup or wherever the hell they're going to put him in prison. And then he walks out, and that's the end of that. That's the name of that tune. That's a law in Texas. I don't know how many other states have that. I don't think they got it in California. I would be interested to find out. But I sure as hell have heard of this before. And I think it was far more prevalent early on in the century than it is now. Here's Salt Lake City on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, this is Salt Lake City.
How are you?
Doing good, thanks.
Good, man.
As far as this goes, I mean, if you catch somebody in the act, I mean, especially your loved one, somebody that you're married to, if you have kids, in the matter of fact, if you step up and see, you know, your wife, in my case, if you see your wife in the act, you know, that's, there's no far more violation than as it goes. As far as the partner or the gentleman that would be having sex with my wife, so to speak, if he doesn't know, that's not necessarily his negligence. You know, it'd be more on the part of my wife.
So what do you tell me? It's okay to not shoot him, but to shoot her?
In the crime of passion, boy, I don't know what I would have to say. You know, seeing my wife with another man, you know, there's no further mistrust because who's to say she wouldn't do it again?
You know, I know a guy that this happened to. He walked in on his wife and this guy.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Shorty, by the way. Used to work construction work with this guy.
Right.
And Shorty walked in, saw his wife and the guy, and she was frightened. She said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And he said, I'm just going to go in and take a dump. And he walked into the bathroom, took a crap, and loaded up his stuff into a suitcase and split.
See, that's, he had time to think about it. You know, if you give that much time to a gentleman and he goes into the bathroom and he has time to sit down and think about it and loads his firearm and comes back, well then, you know.
No, he didn't kill her. He went in, took a crap, loaded up his suitcase and split.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if he came back and shot the gentleman after that, then that's his negligence. You know, he's got the time to think.
But what about just going in and taking a dump and then leaving?
He's a respected man. I will give
you. Would you say that's a better man than you or me, huh?
I guarantee that because I.
Well, that's what we ought to be talking. That's what we ought to be talking about. You know, if he can do it, then we can all do it.
Yeah, some people have a shorter tolerance, though.
You have a good lunch.
Down the street, and, you know, somebody bumps you on.
Yeah, but if you got a shorter tolerance, that doesn't mean you got a short tolerance. Let's let this guy off. This guy doesn't have any tolerance at all.
By no means, there's no standard. There's got to be a standard for everybody because you can't do it case by case. I agree with that.
All right. So how about this? You can't shoot somebody.
You can't shoot somebody.
Right. How about that standard? Is that all right? Are you? May I ask this question? I don't mean any disrespect at all. You're in Salt Lake City. Are you Mormon?
No, by no means.
Because, you know, obviously those cats have got a real heavyweight thing going with marriage, some, anyway, the ones that practice that the polygamy thing.
Correct.
So I would imagine in the great Salt Lake City or in Utah, there's a real, I mean, there's a mania there that may not be anywhere else.
There is quite a mania. I mean, people return from their missions and they're, you know, up and get ready to marry.
They go on mission and they're ready to get married 2, 3, 4, 5 times. So what are you telling me, man? It's all right to do it?
You know, let me put it to you in my prospect in the way that I look at it.
All right.
If I can't trust my own wife, then yes, I'm ready to serve a prison sentence. You know, I don't want to stick in this world if I can't trust my own wife. You know, that's the ultimate commitment. The better commitment than
if
that.
If you can't trust your own wife, if you can't trust your own wife.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand what you said. If you can't trust your own wife, then you're ready to go to prison?
If she's going to be able to willing to do that, I can't see that happening.
Wait a second. You didn't say anything about her doing that. You said if you can't trust her.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Well, all right, in other words...
I trust my wife 100%. I'm married. I'm a married man.
Right.
But if I caught her in bed with another man, there is no more trust. There's no more her. She doesn't exist. You know, and if I cut up there, you know, if I had time to walk back, you know, and grab a firearm, and if I came back and shot the man, okay, then I'm the ass.
Now, how come she has that much...
I need to go to prison.
Why do you give another human being that much power over yourself and your life?
You've got to have
why?
That much trust in a relationship.
No, I didn't say... I said, why do you give her that much power over your life?
I don't give her... you see, but...
Yeah, you do, because you're willing to sacrifice your life for the rest of your life based upon her actions.
Based upon her actions, that
right.
I go with my kids. You know, that's
You're willing to sacrifice your entire life based upon somebody else's actions, right?
One person's actions, yes, I am.
Why is that, man?
Because I've given everything up to her. Marriage is the ultimate commitment.
What if you just made a mistake and married the wrong person?
I don't believe in that.
You don't make mistakes?
Oh, everybody makes mistakes.
All right, what if you made a mistake and married the wrong kind of woman?
Then you married the wrong kind of woman?
Yeah. It happens, pal. You know, forgive me. You're 23, dude. Allow me to allow me the experience of my years. Okay.
That's fine.
You got a lot to learn about life, and especially when it comes to a woman cheating on you, sacrificing your whole life for that.
You're right.
See what I'm saying? You know, so you're giving up your... What am I doing, the Dr. Laura show here? I'm just wondering why it is that you would give away your entire life because you blew it marrying the wrong person.
Who's to say, though? You know,
who's to say?
It's not going to happen again.
She cheated on you.
You're right. Who's to say it's not going to happen again and again?
Well, you can learn, man.
Yeah, you're right.
You get better with, you know, you get better with age.
You're right. You're right. I'm only 23 years old. You know, and I might be speaking out
right,
of
age. So maybe you'll find somebody who is trustworthy, right? I mean, you're going to be checking out for the rest of your life when in point of fact, it could be somebody out there that you can trust, that you can have a family with and have a great life with.
But I'm just talking about you see another loved one, somebody that you hold.
Yeah, you get pissed off, okay? Does that mean that you're going to check the rest of your life out because you got angry at her, is all I'm saying.
Because I got angry at her?
You got angry at her, so now you're willing to go to jail.
Well, I guess the first question would be if you did something wrong. You know, why would she be cheating on you if you did something wrong? Then maybe that's why it was justifiable for her to go off with somebody else.
Did I do something wrong? What?
Well, you see what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Okay. If she's right. Cheating with another man,
yeah.
Maybe you did something wrong. You can
okay,
in the bed. Maybe you're not paying attention to her.
Okay, fine. So you're going to kill her for that?
It, some men and some...
hey, look at pal, you don't have to tell me there's a lot of stupid people in this world. I know there are a lot of, and particularly among the male species. We are some of the dumbest that have ever walked the face of the earth. So, yeah, some men might do it. I'm just wondering if it makes sense for me or for you or anybody who's got their brain screwed in.
All I'm saying is, if it was in the first 5 seconds of me saying it and I had a firearm on me, I would, by all means, I would take care of business.
You take care of business.
Take care of business.
And then you go on inside and somebody else takes care of business with you.
Depending on how it happens, I guess that's how it rolls.
Put a little ugly on and they call you Mary. All right, man, anyway, thanks.
Thanks, John.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800. Now, we got a guy hanging on the line, what? Who has been involved with a lot of married women. You want to take that call? No. Let's hold him over, okay, because I want to talk to this guy. We got a guy hanging on who says that he has been caught at least 6 or 7 times with married women by their husbands. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry here at 1-800-449-8686. On the line is a caller from Redondo Beach. Now, we're talking about a man just given 4 months in jail and some 10 years probation for shooting his wife to death when he found her with another man. In the state of Texas, at least, this is considered to be a crime of passion. It is almost considered to be an understandable action, and therefore one does not get the mandatory, what one might in another state, for instance, life in prison or death. Now, this guy, keep in mind, not only shot her, but when he was driving away, he realized he had more bullets. He turned around and went back and finished the... This is a terribly sad story. Finished the job while she was on the phone to 911. It's caller in Redondo Beach. Now, I asked Mike to hold you over. Sir, you say that you've been with 6 or 7 married women?
Phil, yes. And I don't know, I'm proud not to. My name, if it's okay.
No, that's all right.
But I have been with married women in that situation. And I wanted to ask you a question first. The guy that she was with, he was not killed?
No, he was not.
Okay. I'll tell you right now, it has been my experience, and I'm speaking from experience now. It's been my experience that guy, the man that the woman was with, could have cooled the situation out had he had presence of mind. Okay, you can be confronted by an angry husband. All right, and I'm not saying I'm proud of this, but probably about like I was telling you, screener, you know, about 6-7 times in my life.
How old are you?
I'm 28. So
you've been sexually active for a long time?
Yeah, since I was 14.
Since you were 14?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've you know, for better or for worse or whatever, I mean, I kind of know my way around women a little bit. And I've, unfortunately, you know, I've been involved with married women, and I have had this situation. And
all right, why do you think that the guy that she was with could have cooled it out?
Well, I think the first thing you do, I mean, I totally understand how emotional it is, but you got to break it down step by step. Okay, first thing you have to do, and I did this with a man who was pretty big. I mean, he was a lot bigger than me. And I was with his old lady, and we'd just, you know, we'd knock one off in the afternoon, you know, because I'd worked with her, and we went back to her house, you know, we were in her bedroom, and her old man comes in, and the first thing you've got to do is you have to let cool heads prevail, because it is really an emotional situation.
And well, what did you do?
Well, what happened to me was this guy comes walking in the bedroom, and I'm with his old lady, and like I said, I just got done, you know, I just gotten finished about, you know, maybe like 10 seconds before the guy comes in, and I turn over and I look at this guy, and this guy is big, and this guy is pissed off. And I said to him, you have to understand something, okay, that I said, let's cool out, you know. And I told the guy, I said, we got to cool out. I said, you need to understand, you know, that she had certain sexual needs, and all I am is just I was there to provide the sexuality for her, and that she loves you. And you got to understand, this doesn't mean she don't love you, okay, man? You know, because you got to get their attention, all right?
You're talking to an enraged husband, all right?
That's right. I mean, they're pissed off, but you have got to understand that what you do is you say to the guy, you know, she loves you. She just needed a little bit of, you know, a little bit of, you know, sass. And I'm very, one of the things, Phil, is I'm very good looking. I mean, a lot of women come on to me, and that's just kind of the reality of my life. And I am, how to say this, but I'm very well endowed, too. And
okay, all right, I got it. I got your credentials, okay?
No, I'm not trying to brag or anything.
No, I understand.
But so I explained to this guy, you know, I am... Obviously, I'm very good-looking. I am well endowed, and your wife just needs to say she still loves you, and this is not about her not loving you. But I know that she loves you. She just has some sexual tension. And you calm the guy down that way. You tell him there's no need for violence. You know, you can say to him if you want to that you didn't know she was married. I mean, I knew that this one chick was married, but it wouldn't make any difference. I mean, I could say it. I didn't know. And gradually, I was able to calm this guy down. The other thing, I was aware that she was married, but it's beyond my control anyway, because these a lot of women just come on to me, you know. And
so you're telling me...
But what I'm saying is I reassured the guy that he had nothing to fear from me, she didn't mean a thing to me, that I was just, you know, we were knocking one off early afternoon. I explained to him that we'd had a couple of beers at lunch, so, you know, she's not having no control.
What happened?
The guy understood. He left the room and, you know, gave us a little bit of privacy, you know, and we were able to, you know, maybe knock one off again, and then I left. And that's happened about three, four times to me. I mean, a couple other times I had to run out a bedroom window, but mostly if I can talk to these guys, I can cool them out.
Would you mind staying on the line with us? Because that's a very interesting story. And it's also pertinent, I think, because of the fact that this other man involved got up and ran. Let me go to a phone call here in Granola. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. And is the gentleman in Redondo Beach there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
As far as I know, they had a law in Texas that if the spouse caught their partner involved in sex with another person, they could kill them both and not even be arrested.
Is that right?
That is, now I don't know if that there's a law or was a law, but I was down there...
Is you married?
50-some years ago.
Oh, you were married 50 years ago?
What?
Are you married now?
No, the guy I married is dead now.
Oh, the guy you married, he's currently dead? Was he shot?
Huh?
Was he shot?
No, he,
He wasn't running out a bedroom window or nothing?
He finally died of cancer.
Oh.
But He was no prize to be married to.
Is that right?
But anyway,
did you ever fool around?
With everything as it is, I heard the story.
So you say this guy?
I was down in Texas over 50 years ago. That
you said this guy
they had a law down there that anyone caught in such a situation,
get his
the partner could. Kill them both, and they wouldn't even be arrested.
So this guy you were married to is a real dick, huh?
Huh?
The guy you was married to is a real dick?
The guy I was married to was 6'2".
Asshole.
But.
Oh, yeah?
He had about as much principle as nothing.
A real piece of crap, huh?
What?
A real piece of crap, huh?
That's right.
You ever bang around on him?
Nope.
Never messed around on him or nothing?
Never played around, never.
Wow, that's too bad.
He did his own self in lots of ways.
Wow, what a story.
That's wild. Did he bang around on you?
He was a drill sergeant in the Army, and he knew all the rules.
Say that again.
And he knew that the Army provided their personnel with treatment centers if they became... sexually involved, I could go to the treatment center and get treated, and if they had that paper, and they ever came up with a disease, there would be nothing done about it.
Can I ask you a question?
What did he do?
What did he do? That's what
he went to, when the 45th Division got transferred up to Massachusetts, he went out messing around.
Oh, the 45th,
Yeah,
the 45th, right. But
yep,
he
went out fooling around and
got a cotton
picked
tank
himself
trend.
Up a disease and got busted flat, which was for the duration of the war.
Let me ask you a question. Why didn't you shoot him?
I wasn't where I could.
You weren't in the right state?
No, and didn't have a gun anyhow.
They should have got a gun and just blow them away.
Well, guns cost money, and I didn't have the money for the gun.
What'd you look like?
Huh?
What do you look like?
What did he look like?
No, what do you look like?
What do I look like?
Yes, ma'am.
I was a very beautiful young woman.
I'll bet.
I'm not joking.
You're not joking, but
other people did.
He was joking.
Huh?
Yeah, I said he was joking.
Well, the
idea being that this clown, you know, he's out of your life right now, and that's good. That's good
well,
for you, huh?
I'm surviving.
You still got your teeth?
Don't make that much difference as far as surviving concerned.
Boy, I hope
at
she answers the right way.
I
have a big question here. Does she still have her teeth? Ma'am?
A few more?
You still got your teeth?
Huh?
Do you still have your teeth?
Do I still have what?
Your teeth.
My teeth?
Right.
No. I've lost them one by one.
That is so great.
I had beautiful teeth.
Who cares?
As a matter of fact, I had such beautiful teeth that people would accuse me of having false teeth when I was around 20 years old.
Your teeth were so beautiful, people stole them.
Well, it's like this. There is more to existing in this world than being born beautiful.
I bet it feels wonderful.
To be born beautiful does not solve any problem. In fact, it may lay the whole world on you as problems.
I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about not having no teeth, you know.
Forget about the fact that she doesn't have any teeth.
I just can't get past that.
That's fine. Okay?
Hey, listen, Gummy.
Thank you very much, ma'am. That's a very nice call, and we appreciate that.
Okay.
Hey, can I ask you something? You wear fake Halloween teeth, those vampire teeth.
Okay, thank you, dear.
When it comes to Halloween, anybody ought to check that out. And if you know what it's all about, you would not touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Halloween?
That's right.
You got it.
It is hard.
It sucks.
And everybody ought to check it out for themselves.
Got it. I'm going to check that Halloween stuff out, man, because I hear it blows.
What?
I'll check it out.
You check it out and you find out it is one of the most horrible things that people ever hatched up.
I'll tell you, you are sweet.
And
man.
I was always bewildered as a kid. What all this, witches and the half moons and the
do you want to dance?
Cats and all of that stuff.
Right.
Why those art projects from Halloween? Well, I was much older. Before I learned what it was all about.
Listen, the bar's
and when
come.
I did, I said, no more Halloween with this house.
Can I get you another drink? The bar's going to close here in a second.
What?
Hey, listen, Pink Lady or something? All right, never mind.
I can't hear you.
You just sit there. I got to go to the can. I'll be right back, okay?
Oh,
this is great. I don't know what time you got to be home, but I'm having a great time.
I don't have to. I'm at my house.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time. I just gotta go to the men's room. I'll be right back.
Bye now.
But we'll be dancing here.
Huh?
Okay.
Bye now. I can't hear you anyhow.
Well, shit, Bill.
Oh, I love it.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Now let me have at this gentleman on the line. You were playing a little bit with that older lady that called in.
I just thought she was cute.
Now I found out from my screener. Your name is Chris.
Yeah, Phil, but I'd rather not give my last name.
That's okay. You have been caught by three different men while you were making love to their wives.
That's correct, yes, sir.
And you were able to talk your way out of it.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that I was able to calm them down. I think the reason why I called in is because I heard about that guy who was, with her, and he ran out of the house. And I think that's the first thing you don't do. The first thing you do, if you're any kind of a man, is you're going to stay there. And
well, the guy had a gun.
I think you need to just calm the situation down and explain to the guy that your wife doesn't love me. You know, she loves you. She was just, for us, it's just sex, and then she was just using me as a sexual situation because that's what I did with this guy. I mean, he came in. He was a big guy, too, but I was able to cool him out. I just explained to him that his wife had bodies. biological needs, that, you know, that she had biological needs that I was able to meet, and I was just fulfilling the biology of it, you know. Because there's a certain biology of it when it comes to sexuality, you know. And but I told him that I know that she loves you. I tell him that, you know, there's no need for violence. The Bible don't say nothing about the guy who's not married. It's about, you know, the woman. But it's beyond my control because I'm very good looking. And, you know, and women come on to me.
Now, you're telling the guy, you explained to this, and this was a married man.
This was a woman's husband, right?
And you said to him, I'm very good looking, and...
Well, I didn't need to say that. I mean, but I'm just saying to you that I am very good looking. I'm very well endowed, you know, and that was basically my take on it. So that's what I was saying.
All right, let me go to I think I got. Is this Atlanta? Is this Atlanta? Atlanta, go ahead,
Atlanta.
Sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
This guy, Chris.
Yes, how you doing?
How you doing?
We're good.
Basically, you should be strung up. Because you have moral values. You knew that this woman was married?
Well, I mean, I didn't know, and she told me, but I wasn't sure.
She told you before you laid in her bed?
What's that?
She told you before you laid in her bed?
I don't remember really.
You don't really remember at all?
Not really, no.
Well,
but the point is, I'm not the one that's married, okay? She's the one that's married. She's the one that's supposed to be faithful. But she don't love me. She loves him.
She loves him, but if she loves him, she wouldn't be in bed with him, with you.
Well, but that's different, okay? Because
there's no difference, man.
All I'm talking about is fulfilling the sexuality.
Hey, screw sensuality.
I'm talking about...
There's no sensuality in
it. Dude, I got to ask you to kind of watch your language there, okay? Because he let out with the S-bomb.
Well, I mean, all I'm trying to say to the guy is that I know that I'm not married. She is. I'm not violating nobody's marriage vows. She is.
Okay, sir, could you watch your language?
You violated marriage vows basically when you
in
bed with her.
But the fact is, I was able to talk this guy down. I was able to calm him down and tell him that ain't nothing going on, you know. I mean, all I said is,
hey,
I told the guy.
Come down from New York or California and you come down to Atlanta, Georgia, you calm me down.
What?
I said, you come down from your Yankee state or your Midwestern state and you calm me down.
Yank what?
You wouldn't calm me down because I would be all on you.
Hey, dude, I don't know if you know it or not, but like, well, I don't want to upset you, but the North won the war.
Hey, North won the war.
Yeah, okay, I just thought maybe I'd direct you to Encyclopedia Britannica, man. I mean, all I'm saying is that if you were standing there and...
All right, hold on for a minute. Let's do this, okay? The guy in Atlanta and the guy here in Redondo Beach. Why don't you guys do what they do in psychology called psychodrama? So what I want to do is I want to put you guys in that room. The guy in Atlanta, you've walked in. You see this guy in bed with your wife. Now I'll let this guy... Okay, that didn't work.
What'd he say?
Well, you heard what he said. He laid that S-bomb and then he just dropped a little F-U. Basically, you said, how you doing? And he said, F-U.
Well, I mean, this guy is, I don't know what he's talking about, Yankee State.
He's talking about some other crap. Let's go to Rock Hill on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I'd like to know how you're going to do that when I got a 357 in your mouth, sir. How are you going to do that?
I'll take the gun out of my mouth.
You ain't going to do that. You ain't going to do that. You're the last time.
And I'll say to you, buddy, you're giving up your whole life for this, you know, broad.
But I'm not in my right state of mind. I'm going to blow your head off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to get you in your right state of mind. I'm saying, look.
Not, because I'm not going to give you a chance. I'm going to blow your head off.
Here's the whole deal. Obviously, I'm really good looking because you'd be able to see that I'm really good looking.
Well, I don't want to have sex with you. I want to blow the top of your head off.
And
what
your
do I
wife,
care how good you look?
Because your wife could, you know, that's why she's having sex with me. And after I explain that to you, then you'd feel better.
Yeah, I'd feel better about blowing the top of your head off.
No, no. You say that now, but...
No, I'd say it then, too. In fact, I wouldn't say anything. I'd pull the trigger.
Yeah, then you go to prison. I'm trying to keep you from a prison sentence.
Well, if I'm not in my right state of mind, I'd like to know how you're going to keep me from prison sentence.
What I'm saying to you, I'm recommending to you to get in the right state of mind. Because I got to tell you something. I know martial arts.
Oh, I know 6 years of defensive karate, too. So,
well,
I mean,
there's no way you pull a gun on me.
Why not?
Because I'd take that thing out of your hand.
Well, what are you going to do with it then?
Let you play with it for a while.
Oh, yeah?
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Watch your way out of all of them.
I have.
Now, we have been listening to men calling this show, obviously in a state of rage, saying that you would not have the opportunity to get one word out of your mouth before they blew you away. The one guy said, with a .357 Magnum pointed at the top of your head.
Well, you know, I know, and I appreciate that it's a really emotional situation, but it's easy to say that on the telephone, on a talk radio program, you know. I mean, it's something else to be in that situation where you can just kind of take a deep breath. Okay, what's going on here? I didn't, you know, she don't love me. She's just using me sexually. And like I told that one guy, when I was caught with that one guy, I said, I mean, you have to understand something. You know, she and I had a few drinks before we came over here, so she's not even, you know,
in her right mind?
Yeah, she's not even thinking about it. I mean, she's just using me for the sexuality and the biology, you know, and it's got nothing to do with that. And
yeah, well, you're hearing from a lot of these guys who are saying it wouldn't matter what you had to say, you'd die.
Well, I mean, that's what they say. But, you know, saying it and doing it, that's a whole different thing. And like I said, I've been in the situation, you know, where I talked the guy down, I calmed him down, and everything.
And you told the guy, well, she doesn't love me, she really loves you, and we just knocked one off.
Well, yeah, I said that.
And you said he left the room and you guys were able to keep getting it on?
No, he turned around, he calmed down, he left the room, yeah. And we, all I'm saying is we finished.
You finished?
That's correct, yeah.
And this guy didn't do anything to you at all?
No, because he understood the situation as I explained it to him.
All right, let's go to Salt Lake City on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Chris, you know what? You're so full of yourself, man. And I mean, a lot of it, I think, has to do with your own insecurities. There is no way you're going to be able to have a man walk into a room with you and his wife having sex and for you to have an iota to think you're going to talk yourself out of a situation like that.
Wait a second. I'm a
salesman, and I guarantee you I have a much slicker tongue than you, my friend, and there's no way even I would be able to do it.
Well,
you have just walked into a man's home.
I'm also a salesman, by the way.
Talking with his wife.
I do pharmaceutical
sales. Has, and you're saying that you're going to get your mouth is going to get you out of it. There is no way.
Hey.
You, my friend, are very full of yourself, and you probably should seek some kind of psychiatric help to help you deal with the things that you think you would be able to conquer like
no,
that.
No, I'm saying, number one, I'd like to say that I'm also in pharmaceutical sales. I do telephone sales. So you
dope them up first. That's a good excuse.
No, I'm saying that I do sales, okay? Number two, I mean, if you're a salesman like you say you are, you know that you're selling yourself. That's what the number one rule of being a salesman is. You sell yourself.
Why don't you charge him?
I'm going to charge you, man.
He won't get mad because he could write it off as a business expense.
I ain't going to charge
the guy. It's a personal masseuse.
See, you think I'm lying, but I'm telling you this happened to me on two different occasions.
On two different occasions.
That I was able to tell the guy.
Now it's three, and
no, I said
finished,
no. I said I had to crawl through a few bedroom windows. I said that
no,
already.
So
I said that
you're
already.
You're tripping yourself up.
No,
you know?
You're not listening. For a salesman, you got to learn how to listen, man. I said that I had crawled out a few bedroom windows, but I also was able to talk my way out of a few situations by simply saying to the guy, "She don't love me. She loves you."
Simply saying, "Yeah, I got done boning your wife. She don't love you. So hey, it's all good. Regardless, I'm laying up in here butt naked on your bed." That you bought. It's all good.
Hey,
yeah, okay.
I'm saying that she loves you, and that
okay.
Should not be no reason for you to get pissed off, that's all.
Oh, I would be more pissed off because she would probably be laying in that casket next to you, you know?
And I don't know. Are you married?
What's that? No, I'm not married.
What are you
I'm not.
What are you worried about?
What am I worried about?
Right.
Well, I'm worried about you because no one should kill, and I would hate to see someone with less capabilities to make real life decisions and say stuff, someone like you, the lesser few intellectual people out there, to get caught up thinking that their mouth would get them out of a situation like that, because it would be a blind anger. There's nothing that you're going to be able to come out of your mouth besides, oh, I'm shot, that's going to stop the situation.
Wait a second. I explained to the guy that, you know, I said to him, look, obviously you can see I'm very good looking. So that's
what does that have to do with it?
Well, number one,
what does that have to do with it?
That
you're good looking.
Well,
so he's going to look at you and say, you know what? I would hate to mess up a face like that. So let me pump you in the chest.
No, he'd
say,
you're well
endowed. What does that have to do with your well endowed?
He would say, I understand why my wife.
You can be a horse that learned how to talk.
Hey, he'd say that I understand my wife is with you, okay? Because you are
well. My wife is with you? You're a walking vibrator, yeah?
Okay.
It saves you on batteries.
That's it, okay? So why would he get pissed off if all I am is a walking vibrator? See what I'm saying? And when you use that logic, the dude, you chill him out, okay?
No, you don't.
And the dude is like, well, hey, man.
You don't chill him out. You're talking about a man's wife. He's coming in. You just knocked one off with his wife, and you're going to talk him out of that and chill him out. You're not going to do it.
What
about
you?
And I wish I could be on the cloud where you are, because whatever you guys are selling in that pharmaceutical business is probably ticking.
Hey, man.
You should send me some.
Hey.
Because the place where you're at, you're not taking into any account or anything the way the human brain works, okay? Regardless of what you say, that is a situation. It's like life or death, you or me. I'm going to do this because you did this. There's no way you're going to talk yourself out.
I want to jump in. This is Phil Henry. Chris, this guy's making a whole lot of sense, okay? You're dealing with blind rage. You're dealing with...
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the biology. You know, I gave it to her good. The biology.
You gave it
to her good, huh?
You gave it to her good, and you're telling her husband that?
I'm saying to the guy that.
Yeah, what are you saying to the guy? I want to know. What are you saying?
What's going to happen one day, you know, where the middleman's going to be cut out? Her husband's going to walk in, and she's going to be the one that blows your brains out. Huh? He raped me.
What?
Think about it, son. You should use the brain on your head and not the one between your legs.
Hey, man.
All she has to do, honey, he broke in here, he raped me. And you know what? Now you're a dead rapist.
No, I could talk my way out of that.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I could
talk your way out of it. I would like to see that. You know, I think I might even pay to buy the transcript for you to talk your way out of one of these bedroom scenes. Because if you're that good, you should probably be on TV to show other people how to do it that get shot doing it. You know what I mean? You should write some kind of book.
Dude, you know what? And you're going to laugh at me, but maybe I ought to, because
I'm good at it.
And
what about this whole situation with the guy? The woman says he raped me.
I would talk my way out of that.
How do you talk your way out of that, man? You got a woman who's just turned on you, said this guy is here, he's raping me.
I have to explain to the guy that she's lying. Who's he going to believe, her or me?
Probably her.
I doubt it.
You're not thinking with your brain, Chris.
I doubt that.
Like, get out of the sun, you know? You've been concentrating so much on your endowedness and your good looks, you haven't worked on the mental.
I mean,
I'm 23 coming at you with more sense than you got in your whole finger.
Think about it, man. Think about
you
it,
see?
Man.
And you're thinking with the wrong head, okay?
That's what
gets people in trouble.
You
being 28 should know women are scandalous. Women would flip-flop on you like that, but you ain't taking that into account.
Hey,
that's her husband. Married him. She could care less about you. She could flip on you.
Dude, tell me, who's he going to believe, her or me?
What are you, nuts?
Did you not just listen?
He's going to
tell me to listen. You aren't listening to me, Chris. He's going to believe her.
But really, who do you think he's going to believe, her or me?
Dummy.
No, really. Tell me really.
Her, dummy.
No,
if
dummy,
it was
really.
Me, I would believe her, dummy, not you.
Tell me really.
I could care about you because you know what? My Glock would probably have about 15 or 16 rounds, one for each of your teeth, you know?
You just said you got more common sense.
And you're so well endowed, I'd probably even bronze it.
You know, you just said that you got more common sense than I got in my little finger. What's that mean?
What do you think?
Then, in other words, you got more common sense than I got in my little finger? So you got, a big toe worth?
Okay, this is ridiculous.
I want to know who he thinks the guy's going to believe, me or his wife.
He just told you. His wife.
Yeah, but who's he really think?
He told you. All right, listen, thanks for your call, sir, in Salt Lake tonight. Chris, good luck, man. If you really say that you have talked your way...
I swear to God, Phil, I swear to God, I talked my way out of three of them. Three situations. I explained to the guy that I'm well endowed and that she just, you know, can't stay off it. And he calmed down and he went into the kitchen, made himself something to eat, and even let me use the bathroom.
Bull crap.
I swear to God.
Bull crap.
I swear to God. I swear to God.
Let you use the bathroom.
Yeah. I swear. I swear on a stack of Bibles.
Bull crap.
I swear it, man.
All right, fine. You swear it. I don't believe you. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449...
I swear to God, man.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.